So when's the last time you did something, and right after you did it, you thought to yourself, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. Or you tried to explain to somebody, you know, you did something, and then after you did it, you tried to explain to them, listen, don't judge me based on what I did, because that's not really my heart. I'm not really like that. You know, because you do something, and then you sort of instantly realize, wait a minute, that's not really who I am. Like, there's this gap between, at least I've seen this in my life, there's this gap between who I am and what I do. And in that gap, you know, you're sort of feeling like, man, don't judge me. There's like this tension. Like, you know, for me, I wish I could just do something, and then even if I don't like it, I could just say, well, so what? I did it. It's done. Just let it go. But there's like this tension there. Because I know that who I am isn't really coming across in what I do. And in this series that we're in, it's called Wisdom, How to Apply God's Little Sayings that He has in the Bible. They wrote down these little sayings, and they're good for anybody. I mean, regardless if you go to church or you believe in God or anything like that, these little wise sayings are really good. But what we've been saying is that when you mix them into having a relationship with God, that's when they're the most powerful. This probably makes them different than like a fortune cookie or a horoscope or something like that. But these wise sayings, when you mix them in with God, they get powerful. And here's why. Because just knowing something doesn't close the gap. Like, take your outline out and just write somewhere in your outline somewhere. Here's what maturity is: closing the gap between who I am and what I do. And just knowing something doesn't close the gap. That's why I've been saying that these wise sayings are most powerful. Now listen to this. God's not like a personal trainer. You know, you get a personal trainer, you want to get in shape, so you hire somebody. You know, they meet you at the gym, and they're all encouraging, you know, and they're like, you know, showing you how to do the proper body mechanics, and give me one more push-up, you can give me two more push-ups, you know, and you're like, shut up, you know, just one more sit-up, you know, and just, they're very encouraging and inspiring, but guess what? They can't, like, you still have to be the person to do it. And God's not like a personal trainer. He's not on the sideline somewhere saying, come on, you can do it. There's something about having a relationship with God that empowers me to be able to do it. Maybe He's like the God of the gap, because He helps who I am and what I do get a little less far apart. Now today, you saw the clip, our topic is generosity. And if there's ever an area where there's a gap in my life, you know, between who I am and what I do, there's this huge gap between, you know, who I really see myself as and what I do, it's got to be generosity. And normally we think about generosity in the context of money, but today we're going to broaden it out a little bit, because here's why. Being generous isn't something I do, it's something I am. And when I'm a generous person, well, the whole way that I show up in life is to be generous. It goes way beyond money. So write in your note, it's the big idea for the weekend. It's safe to be generous because God is generous. God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now let's be practical about this. We got bills to pay and vacations to pay off. And it's like, if I'm generous with my stuff, if I'm going to give some of my stuff away, who's going to take care of me? I mean, it's scary to be generous if you're not connected to God. That's why maybe you've seen religious people that, you know, they give lots of money to the church, but you know them, and they don't have a generous bone in their body. You can be super religious and not connected to God. You can give tons of money to a church or some religious organization or some nonprofit organization. You give tons of money away and appear generous, but that doesn't mean that you are generous. So today we're going to look at it a little differently. We're going to broaden it out way past money. We're going to talk about what happens when I become generous. How does the gap get a little narrower between who I am and what I do? So here's the first one, write in your notes. Now, being generous shapes my view of God. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Now, the definition of bountiful is to have more than enough. So what it's saying is that, you know, when you're connected with God, you sort of live in this way that you have more than enough. So I got a question for you. Do you see God as stingy? And if you do, who taught you that? Was it your parents, or was it a church, or somebody in your family? Does somebody represent God as stingy? He just gives you just barely enough to get by. Not a ton, not enough where you'd have a bountiful amount, just barely enough. It's like when you go to the restaurant, you order the chocolate sundae, and they come by, it's like got half a scoop of chocolate on it. You're like, what? It's like, I want a lot of chocolate on my sundae. Do you see God as stingy? And how would it change your life if you saw him as generous? Or here's another question. Who in your life needs to see God as generous? Because they see him as someone that would give just a little bit of forgiveness out. Or a little bit of understanding out. God's just a little bit accepting. How would it change your life, or someone that you know, if your view of God was he's a generous God in how he is with us? Now, number two, write in your notes, being generous shapes my view of others. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the poor, and he will repay him for his deed. And there's this video I wanted you to see. So this is kind of interesting right here. This is Shaquille O'Neal talking about how he started to see other people in the context of generosity. So check this out.
Charity. You know, we were speaking about your upbringing earlier, and obviously you guys were poor, did not have a lot of money. But there's one time your father's, Philip, is taking you out to get a burger and sees a homeless guy. What ends up happening?
He's driving and he sees a homeless guy in some army fatigues. Like, if you ever saw a guy in army fatigues, he's pulling over. So he sees a guy, he makes a U-turn in the middle of the street, he's talking to this guy, and he recognized the platoon that the guy was from. Man, I know, did you know what? Yeah, I knew him and then there. So the guy was down on his luck, and my father had, we had like 5 double cheeseburgers left. My father had $20. And in my mind, I'm like, what are you doing, bro? I'm gonna eat that later. When y'all go to sleep, after everybody get there, I'm gonna eat. What are you doing? Like, I'm like, you know, selfish at this point. Like, you finally get some change. I get to stop eating army crackers and army cheese. This is my food. So he gives the guy the food, and he gets in the car and he slams the door, and he got a little tear in his eye, and he just looks and says, "If you ever make, and like I remember these words, if you ever make it big time, make sure you help those in need." And then on Thanksgiving, you know, he would go to the barracks, round up the troops, and we would go. We'd have blankets. We have all the army rations that they were getting ready to throw away. Whatever we can, Spam, peanut butter, bread, give it to the homeless people. So those are three things that I do today because of what a man that made $30,000 a year taught me. From a woman who was a secretary, probably made $20,000 a year. They taught me that. So, you know, a lot of people, when they look at me and the charities that I do, this is from the heart. Like sometimes when I see people doing charities, I could tell they're just doing it for the moment. Like, for example, whenever it's a hurricane relief thingy, people who you never see do anything, all of a sudden they just pop up and they're tweeting about it. Like I tell people all the time, I do a lot of stuff seen and unseen. Like, it doesn't matter to me if you know that I just fed 10,000 homeless. That I'm doing this because this was what I was taught. I'm doing it because to walk in there and see a family put a smile on their face for a day, that's just awesome to me.
So here's what he's saying. He said, you either are generous or you're not generous. And here's something I wanted you to read. This is not in your note. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Now, poor means not nearly enough. And so there's something about being generous that you're able to hear people when they're crying in life when they don't have nearly enough. So here's an example. Maybe you know someone in your life and they're always showing off or bragging and they don't have nearly enough attention. But for me, that just annoys me, so I can't hear that cry. Or maybe someone doesn't have nearly enough support in their life, And so they're always angry. But I can't hear the cry of their heart. All I get is their anger. Or maybe you have someone in your family and they bounce around from bad relationship to bad relationship to bad relationship. And everybody talks about them, how, you know, how they have all these bad relationships. But the cry of their heart is, how am I going to ever find someone to love me? See, here's what generosity does. When generosity helps me view people differently, because I can hear the cry of their heart and not just get caught up in their behavior. Now go back to number two and write this in. Being generous shapes my view of myself. A generous soul will be made rich. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So many good things start to happen in my life when I can see myself as someone else's blessing. Have you ever thought of yourself that you could be the answer to someone else's prayer? That everything that happens in your life is not just for you. Someone tried to capture this idea, and they wrote this song, and then someone wrote the song down, and they put it in the Bible. And I'm going to read it to you. It'll come up behind me. Here's the first lines of the song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My cup runneth over. So there's two ways to look at the cup. The first way to look at the cup, my life, we all have a cup, is that I fill my cup with the things that I want. And so that makes it hard to be generous towards other people for a couple of different reasons. Number one, it wasn't that easy to fill this cup. And if I share it with anybody, I have to go back to work and fill the cup. So I'm like, hey, my cup. I mean, come on, it took a lot of work to put the stuff in this cup. And then secondly, do you see what's in the cup? That's for me. That's why I put it in there. That's not for you. Whoa. My cup. Very difficult to be generous with my cup when I filled it with stuff for me. Now, the writer of this song is saying something completely different, different way of looking at it. He's saying, God fills my cup. And he fills it with things for me and other people. So it's not just my job to fill my cup, to put things in there. God fills my cup. And here's how he fills it. He fills it in a way to remind me that it's not just for me. Because let's face it, we all like default to our life. So God's good about that. He puts so much into it that it starts running out all over the place, and we're like, whoa, that's right. I'm supposed to give some away to others. And he just keeps filling it. Now, we all have a cup. The question is, do I fill it with stuff for me and carry that burden, or do I let God fill the cup? Now turn your note sheet over. Jesus tried to get this whole thing across in a story. I'm going to read it to you. There were some people who thought they were very good and looked down on everyone else. Jesus used this story to teach them. One time there was a Pharisee and a tax collector. One day they both went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood alone away from the tax collector. The age-old problem. The people that go to church don't want to be with the people that don't go to church. I don't know what it is about church people that feels like just because they go to church, they're better than people that don't go to church. Or people that don't go to church have got some kind of cootie disease that somehow is going to get on me. I have to stay away from them. That's this guy. When the Pharisee prayed, he said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not as bad as the other people. I'm not like the men who steal, cheat, or commit adultery. I thank you that I'm better than this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of everything I get." So here's this guy. He's over by himself. I'm the church guy over here. And then he says, you know, the way I get through life and make myself feel okay is I compare myself to other people. That's how I do it. And so when I look around, I start with this. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm definitely not as bad as her. Did you hear what she did last Friday night? And you just sort of go through the people, and you're like, I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as that guy. And here's the problem. The little cousin of I'm not as bad as them is I'm better than them. So pretty soon, I'm not as bad as that guy. And I'm a lot better than that guy. And I'm a lot better than that guy. And I'm better than them too. And pretty soon you just go through life saying, I'm not as bad as them. I'm better than them. And that's this guy. And he's doing all this as he stands before God. You can just see God shaking his head going, what a loser. But, you know, I mean, he's just like, and then he starts to brag. Look at all the things I do and I pay my religious bills. It's almost like he shows up and he's like this, God, look at me and my cup. Look what I got in here, God. That's that guy. Jesus telling the story. Now, here's the second part of the story. The tax collector stood alone too. But when he prayed, he would not even look up to heaven. He felt very humble before God. He said, oh God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. So he knows when he's not wanted. And he doesn't compare himself to other people. He compares himself to heaven, and he can't even bear the sight. He's like, I don't have anything to brag about. I don't have anything to bring into my conversation with God. That, like, you know, this almost starts like a joke. It's almost like a Pharisee and a tax collector walked into a bar, but it's like they walked into a church. He's like, I don't have anything to brag about. I don't. It's sort of like he goes before God like this. God, look, I don't got anything in here that's like all that. Like, here's me, God. Please help me. And here's the definition of mercy. It's asking God for what I know I don't deserve. It can't be mercy if you deserve it. One guy shows up and says, I'm better than everyone. I deserve it. The other one says, please help me. And when Jesus is telling the story, here's how he finishes it up. I tell you, when this man finished his prayer, he went home and he was right with God. But the Pharisee who felt that he was better than others was not right with God. People who make themselves important will be made humble, but those who make themselves humble will be made important. So here's the definition of right with God. It's that wonderful feeling when you can say this. Me and God are on the same page. I don't have any issues with him. He doesn't have any issues with me. One person in the story stands before God and thinks he's right with God and leaves not right with God. The other one comes in and says, I know I'm not right with God, and he leaves right with God. One person comes in and says, look at my filled cup, and he leaves with an empty cup. And the other one comes in with an empty cup and leaves with a full cup. And when I have a full cup, I can be generous. When someone hurts me in a way that I look at my own self and I go, there's no possible way I can forgive them. Fill my cup, God. When your finances are completely out of control, you're like, there's just no possible way this is going to come together. Fill my cup, God. When you struggle in unbelief, in any, like, I just don't even think you're going to show up, or, you know, where have you been, or I can't trust you. The starting place sometimes is just say, here's a cup if you want to do anything with it. Now here's our prayer. It's the last thing for today. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So generous is not something I do. It's something that I am. And it's possible with a connection with God, because he's super generous.